Well, President Obama was in Milwaukee, made a great speech, said, in heaven, there is no beer. That's why
we drink good beer.
All right. What do you know?
Live from San Francisco, California to Charleston, South Carolina, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we book a trip to Mars with author and Canada's greatest know-it-all, Andrew Rader, plus all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man whose brother, Dr. Clayton A. Feldman, is in the audience to look at all of your rashes, it's Michael Feldman.
Show him your rash. He's right back there. What you don't want to do is show the wrong guy your rash. So I point out Clayton. Clayton, did you raise your hand there? The one you used for, yeah. Did you bring the rubber gloves? He always travels with them in case there's an incident. Okay, how are you? Pretty good then, huh? Nice to have you here. Good. In all the news that isn't, massive increase in carbon dioxide as people holding their breath. Then you got to try to choke off the methane. That's the hard part. Okay, anyhow. Russia annexes Scotland, averting a UK constitutional crisis. I say Scottish independence before Mel Gibson makes another movie. That's the most important thing. Home Depot data breached with everyday objects you can buy at Home Depot. About that, huh? Thought about that one for a minute. That's Prince William in the throne room again with the morning sickness. In the ISIS crisis, President Obama tries to round up a posse, ends up in a remake of High Noon. Only guy on the street. Do not forsake me, oh my darling. Whoa, what an old crowd we have. I learned that off Clayton's record, by the way. Very nice version of that tune. I didn't give it, but let's see. You know, he's probably the wrong guy to send out to form a posse, is what I'm saying, President Obama. Getting into a Blazing Saddles situation could be bad. The president says it'll be a long effort eliminating ISIS, running well into the second Jenna Bush term. So that's the long run. I did look it up, by the way, and I found that a sustained effort to rout militants is, in fact, war. So, looked it up. All right, anyhow, it's not funny, but I did look it up. Former New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin gets 10 years in a FEMA trailer. Panera bans guns after a man stirs his strawberry parfait with a .38. And now they want to keep our guns out of Kroger's. When I pack at Kroger's, and I don't mean groceries, they take me 15 items more or less. Okay. Due to health problems, Rob Ford will not run for mayor or the tumor that saved Toronto. That was a gift. It was a gift. The Pistorius trial, what we take away from this is always ask, honey, are you in there before shooting up the bathroom? Honey, you in there? Oh, it's Ollie. The Apple iWatch, the most annoying thing on your wrist since what's her name? I thought that was a lot better than you did. The iPhone 6 is somewhat of a disappointment as the much-anticipated eye colonoscopy health app is a no-show. Apple's Tim Cook, of course, calls it epic, but in fairness, he calls his BMs epic. Meanwhile, the Olive Garden's never-ending pasta pass, the Magna Carta of fast food sit-down. Boy, that's a good joke. The Magna, the never-ending pasta pass, or pasta pass, the Magna Carta of fast food sit-down. Let me say it this way. Now, okay, no longer just a recurring nightmare I have about a never-ending pasta pass, or the horrific bottomless salad, tumbling through a bottomless salad, Olive Garden. Anyhow, drug companies will take back unwanted drugs. Now how about taking back the unwanted symptoms? And I just want to say they're all royal babies as far as I'm concerned, so let's keep that in mind. Airlines now allow you to listen to your Walkman if you put it in airplane mode. Comrade Edward Snowden says the NSA has nude pictures of us all. Which means that Snowden has nude pictures of us all. Which means that Putin has nude pictures of us all. I say, if you want your pictures in the cloud, throw them off the bridge. Or put the Polaroids under the undies like we always did. What the heck? How hard is that to figure out? Second drawer from the top. Putin did not say, by the way, he could take Kiev. He said he'd take the chicken Kiev. You sneezed right on the chicken part. Who sneezed on the chicken part of that fabulous joke? Who was it? Come on. Okay. All right, just so I know. I'm not going to do it again, but they lost a great deal by not hearing the chicken part of the Kiev. The new Israeli subdivision, El Rancho Gaza, fails to attract buyers. Consumer sediment reaches new depth. Turning point, actually, you know, they're going through this president on the ISIS thing and all that. It turns out the turning point on the President Obama's ISIS policy was not being able to get a tea time on Labor Day. It's really not their fault. They don't control Martha's Vineyard yet. A new phone scam is going around. If someone calls claiming to be your conscience, tells you to withdraw $10,000 for yourself, hang up. A lot of people in Wisconsin, they're very nice. They hear their conscience calling, they try to answer. Even if the voice is familiar, hang up. And finally, and I mean that UW-Madison is 13th among the best public colleges, so using Big Ten accounting techniques, we're in the top 10. Thank you. And that's all the news. That is it. Oh, come on, you don't have to do that. Just to make me feel good after a few missteps. But, you know, it's that Princeton Review. You know, Princeton Review of Colleges comes out, you know, and Princeton's always number one in the Princeton Review of Colleges. How fair is that? If it was the Badger Review of Colleges, it would be a different finding, I believe. That's all I'm saying. What were you all saying? Anything? Nice to have you here. Anyone here sign up to go to Mars one way?
No.
Did you?
I tried.
You tried? Didn't get in?
No.
Any fallback positions? Venus? Pluto? A long trip to Pluto? No, you did try? Did you apply? And you all the?
Didn't even get to the video application part.
Didn't get to the video application. I got Andrew Rader on here now in Thousand Oaks, California. He's wrote the book Leaving Earth, Why the One Way to Mars Makes Sense. He's on the line with us right now. He's also the biggest know-it-all in Canada. Did you know that? Which I don't think is that hard, frankly. I don't see such a... How hard could that be? It's Canada. Come on. Andrew, how are you this morning?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. It's kind of early out there, I know. Thank you for doing this early.
Oh, no problem at all.
Yeah. Are you yourself going to Mars?
Well, that's the plan. I don't know if I actually am, but I would definitely like to. I'd like to see anyone go, actually.
Yeah.
But if it takes me going to have people go, then I will definitely volunteer.
You will? Well, shouldn't you have thought about it before now? It's getting pretty
well,
late. They're taking applications.
Yeah, I've thought about it for most of my life. And I think that it's something I definitely like to do. I'm actually surprised when people wouldn't go. given the opportunity. I mean, mm-hmm. why wouldn't you do something like that with your life? I think that's...
Well, the fact that you're not coming back is like the worst airline situation you could find yourself in, really, you know.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Yeah. In some sense, all of life is a one-way journey, though.
Well, that's true philosophically. But in point of fact, you know, if actually if you're somewhere else for the rest of your life, that's not accessible. That's a little bit different. Why does it have to be one way? I don't know. Why couldn't it be a round trip?
Well, it could be a round trip. And I definitely support a one way or a round trip as well. But I think that the technical challenges involved in an astrotype mission where you send a giant spaceship and explore Mars from orbit for several years and then bring them back is a lot bigger of a technical challenge than sending very simple spacecraft, a very simple mission architecture where you send people and then send supplies. It's effectively what we have with the International Space Station, where we do resupply them on a regular basis.
Right.
And we have a capability to send things to Mars, a vastly greater capability than getting anything back from the surface.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we had giant rockets on Mars waiting to send things back to Earth from Mars, then a two-way mission would make so much sense. But it's actually relatively easy for us to send things to Mars. There are some challenges with landing.
It's getting them back that's a problem, apparently.
But getting them back is a real problem because there's no giant rockets on Mars to come back.
Yeah.
It's all about
they should have thought of that in the first place. Aren't you worried of attracting a lot of Israeli settlers to Mars?
In the long term, possibly. Yeah.
And the housing itself. Now, I've seen. Are these? I know you can't really talk about some of the things you're doing at SpaceX, right?
Well, that's right. I can tell you that we are indeed launching rockets into space.
Okay, that I got from the rockets I saw being launched into space by space. Don't you guys do that one that hovers and comes back down?
Yeah, that's right.
That's a cool one. Were you involved in that one?
Oh, I can't talk
you
about
can't,
it.
I'm sorry. All right. How's the family? How's the family, Andrew? Are they doing well, everything? Are you married? I don't think you're. Are you married? I didn't see
no,
that.
No, not married.
Okay. No. Thinking about
My
it?
My family's all back in Canada. I think they're doing well.
Yeah, good. And actually, you know, speaking of that, I saw there's a couple, or the wife applied to go to Mars. And it was kind of an interesting story because you wonder about this. And she has a very understanding husband. They got married and they're very much in love, apparently. But she is going to Mars. And when is it, 2023, something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. We're not talking about it. I'm not really. I was just thinking about the psychology behind it. And her husband says, well, at first he thought this was all about me. I thought you're leaving me. Every time he changed his mind, the more she talked about it, the more I realized she was doing this for the right reasons. She was doing this to show humanity what we can all do if we work together. Living without her will be agony that I can only describe in an article for Texas Magazine. So,
I know some people like that, too. Actually, I know a medical doctor, a lady who's doing the same thing, and she has a husband.
Yeah. That's asking a lot of people, though. He said he's going to dedicate his life to cutting ribbons in her name on Earth and all that stuff. As the first Mars astronaut. But it's asking a lot of an individual. I was going to say, the places that you have up there for them, I know you can't talk about this, are not all that attractive. They're like little truncated Airstream trailers.
Yeah, it's a really long-distance relationship.
Yeah,
you would be kind of living in a trailer for a long time.
Yeah.
And eventually, you might be living in a hobbit hole. So, you know.
In a what?
In a hobbit hole, like Bilbo Baggins?
Well, that could only be better, I think, than living in an Airstream.
Yeah, it's easier to dig a house out of a mountain or something like that, and then you get all that radiation protection, which on Mars is really important too. So,
yes.
Yeah.
It sounds just ideal to me. I don't know why more people haven't signed. Can we talk about
the other thing? Yeah, you can build bricks too. Actually, you want to
build bricks. Yeah.
Use very simple materials that you can get on Mars, and the soil is actually perfect for making bricks out of. So you can build kind of like a
red
Roman
ones.
House.
A lot of red bricks.
Like red bricks. That's right.
Look like Harvard or something after a while.
Yeah. And the other thing is plastics, actually. You can extrude plastics really well because you can make plastics out of simple molecules that you can actually get from the Martian water and air, the carbon dioxide in the air.
Okay. Let me ask the young woman here in the audience, why did you want to go to Mars?
Why wouldn't you go to Mars?
Why wouldn't you? That's what people always say when you ask them something like that. And
yeah, that's what I always wonder. So you think I'm crazy for wanting to go to Mars, but I think all of you are crazy for not wanting to go. I mean, I don't understand.
I don't think anyone is crazy, and yet everyone is crazy.
To some extent. I mean, you know, given the chance to do something with your life that's just so amazing, like going to another planet for the first time in human history, for the first time in perhaps the history of any of the life on our planet for 4 billion years.
Yeah.
Why would you turn that down?
No, for about a day or 72 hours, I would say, look, I was on the first time ever on a planet, and then we go home now because I got things to do, and the garden doesn't water itself.
Yeah.
The puggle has to go out. I'd be thinking about my puggle.
Well, I do think that once we have people there, that's actually the thing.
Yeah.
Sending people there will drive the incentives to create the technology to make it relatively easy to go both ways from Earth to Mars.
Yeah, too late,
and
probably.
We do. It's false to say we don't know how to come back from Mars. We actually really do.
Yeah.
It's just that the architecture is much simpler to go there than to come back. Mm. And I don't think it should be a prerequisite that we know precisely how we're going to get people home before we send them. You know, you can make methane out of the atmosphere and the water on Mars.
Yeah.
Make oxygen, and we can make rocket fuel on Mars. We know how to do that today. We knew how to do that in the 1840s. So
we did.
You make a methane oxygen rocket, and you can come back from Mars, right? So we send an unfueled rocket. So we know how to do this. It's just that there doesn't have to be a plan in place, in my view, to bring people back before we send them, because if we make that a prerequisite, it's never going to happen. And we can send them supplies, we can keep them alive, and in fact, I wouldn't go unless I'd seen multiple spaceships landing on Mars. I'd seen that it's, you know, relatively proven that we can land large spacecraft on Mars.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd have to see it happen, and I'd have to see my base established with back of supplies for many years before I would go. It's not just you're setting off with nothing there. You're setting off to a base that's already been robotically established, with years of supplies already in place. In some sense, it's not any different from having a space station on another planet.
Yeah, except you come back from
Mars. And we do that today. Yes. You come back from that, but you could actually come back from Mars as well.
Yeah.
And I think it's something
could
that
is a big word. In terms of human exploration, usually you don't send the guys out. Magellan said, okay, we're never coming back, but it's going to be a great trip. You know, he didn't come back, but it was accidental.
Yeah, well, 80% of his crew didn't come back. In fact, 21 people got back to Spain out of about 200. But the people who went to Australia set off on a more than six-month journey that was extremely perilous and probably more dangerous than going to Mars.
Uh-huh.
The chances of you not coming back or not even arriving in Australia and there you weren't planning to come back was probably lower than your chances of going to Mars.
Yes, and then you end up being Australian, so there's like a double bind there.
I know,
Okay. Now you've actually written the book on this now, and it's got paying for it and landing on Mars and so forth, and you do have like the capsules here. Is that your end of? We can't talk about that, I guess. But do you actually work in the fabrication of these vehicles, or in the? Can we talk about any of that?
It's not even clear.
I mean, what do you do in this is what I want to know.
There's two separate things. Yeah. It's not even clear that SpaceX would necessarily be involved in this.
Okay.
I support it in a general sense, architecture free. So I will say that my book talks a lot about SpaceX, but I actually wrote it before I started working at SpaceX.
Okay.
Was that
when you were just the biggest know-it-all in Canada and that propelled you into this?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I'm an aerospace engineer. I have a background in this. Actually, my background at MIT, my PhD, is in long-duration human spaceflight. So how to keep people alive and healthy in space with artificial gravity. I also worked on spacesuit design.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that Mars, for example, is the optimal location that we know of for human locomotion. On Earth, there's a bit too much gravity to move around really efficiently.
Yeah.
And on the moon, there's not enough.
I find that, yeah. And not enough. Yeah. And Mars is good?
Mars is perfect. It's the sweet spot, actually.
It's the sweet spot for human locomotion.
That's right. For so, walking around efficiently. So if you want to run a marathon, run it on Mars. Or the Mars basketball team would be superstars of the solar system.
Or a Marsathon, I guess they call them. But even a half one would be good, probably. What gravity, compared to Earth gravity, we're talking about, what, 0.8 or something like that?
38%.
38%? Oh, that's
0.38.
That's forgiving.
Yeah, it's pretty low. Yeah.
That'd be good. Would you? So then people would be leaving their capsules, I mean their airstreams up there, and locomoting around the surface.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the whole point. Yeah, they'd have to wear a spacesuit outside, at least at first. I think that in the very long term, one of the main reasons to go to Mars, if Mars was going to forever be a cold, frozen desert, there'd be a lot less reason to go. I still think there would be reason to go, and you could build, for example, domes or something like that in the long run.
Right.
But I think one of the main reasons to go is Mars has, I think, the potential to become a second Earth. We could terraform it, create a greenhouse effect, which humans are pretty good at, and if you create a very large greenhouse effect, you can bring in the heat and trap it there and warm up Mars. Mars has a lot of frozen water, and Mars could have oceans. Mars probably did once have oceans. And you can see pictures online of terraformed Mars. So what Mars would look like if it had oceans and had plant life. And Mars could really be a second planet that we could have. Mars has as much surface area as all the land of the entire Earth. So if you take out the oceans of Earth, that's how big Mars is, almost exactly.
But if you put oceans on it, though, it's going to start eroding a lot of that.
Right, yeah, it'll be a bit smaller, but it'll still be, you know, the size of Asia and Africa or something like that.
Would we need to go up there and just do what we're doing down here and just release a lot of carbon dioxide and stuff to get things rolling?
Well, yeah, but of course, you're not going to have a lot of Nike shoe plants or whatever oil refineries, so what you're going to do is probably make factories that actually produce the worst greenhouse effect gases that we know of, like CFCs and things like that. So you'd actually deliberately, we know there are a series of greenhouse gases that we avoid, that we've actually prohibited the manufacture of on Earth. But if you go and set up factories that specifically target those and are set out to just produce those in
the
high quantity as possible, that's a possibility. And then once you start melting some of that carbon dioxide. Mars has polar ice caps of frozen carbon dioxide. So it has water, but it also has a lot of trapped frozen carbon dioxide. Once you start heating that up, you release it and you actually create more of a greenhouse effect. So it's a feedback. And so if we can create just enough of it to set it off, it might actually establish itself at a new equilibrium where it's a much warmer planet.
But this might take millions of years, perhaps.
Oh, yeah, thousands possibly, yeah.
I knew there was a catch. It sounded so good in the prospectus.
Well, you know, you might be around for that. If you upload your intelligence to a computer, which is probably going to happen in the next 20 or 30 years, then you might actually be around to see it.
Well, that's a scary thought right there. And I don't know if I can deal with any of these scary thoughts all at once. First the pasta pass and now this. But so it does make sense in a certain sense. And in another way, it doesn't make any sense to me at all because you know, the one-way part of it. Because, I mean, if you had these rockets taking cargo up to Mars, wouldn't they then be there and we could refit them and come back for a visit?
Well, not necessarily.
No.
That's like saying, couldn't we use the lunar lander to come back to Earth? And they couldn't because it's not designed for that. It doesn't have the same types of engines. There's a lot of technical challenges involved in launching something off Mars, and then it has to have potentially a different kind of engine to return to Earth, and it has to have a reentry system. And just getting something, landing something on Mars, like we landed Curiosity, the Mars rover on Mars, that doesn't mean that Curiosity can come back to Earth. It just doesn't have the hardware there. It had a landing system, but it doesn't have a giant rock, you know. So, and I should say, actually, when they were first planning to go to the moon, they wanted to beat the Soviets so badly that both, actually, the Soviets and Americans were considering sending people one way to the moon. And there was a serious proposal to send an astronaut to the moon first and then figure out later how to get them back. And then just keep sending them food and supplies and things like that. So Neil Armstrong could have been a one-way mission to the moon. But Kennedy made it very clear in his speech that the objective was to return.
And he would have had more time to go through his speech. Yeah, that would have been good. One good.
yeah, for sure. But it makes a lot more sense with Mars than the Moon to go one way because it's such a longer trip. And Mars is actually a lot better suited to keep people alive. Mars has water, for example. All the bulk goods, I mean, you'd have to send food at least in the short term. But the bulk goods, you could actually, the water and the air, you could actually get from Mars itself.
Yeah. Well, it seems like a no-brainer now that you explain it to me. And if I had no brain, I'd go easily. No doubt about it. Can't be any worse than Thousand Oaks, really, if you think about it, after a few million years. Well, thank you, Andrew. It's really a lot to think about. I should say the book is called Leaving Earth. Andrew Rader, Ph.D., wrote it, and I'm very much looking forward to be able to talk about what you're actually doing at some point. I don't know if that ever gets – I know it's all proprietary. That's a big business right now. It's competitive. NASA made space competitive. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Yes. I definitely think it's much more efficient to have – private industries doing a lot of the hardware design and build, for sure.
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Andrew, very much. Andrew Rader, ladies and gentlemen. Leaving Earth. See you there. Okay. All righty then. Still want to go, even though you didn't get in? Because there'll be other programs, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'll be on the next one.
Yeah, yeah. The thought of being out there and not being able to see anyone ever again...
It's
worth it. So that's motivating, is what you're saying. It's not that is kind of motivates you to want to go to Mars. Okay. Okay, fine. Or they could just send my family up there and I could stay here. I don't know. Would you do that, John? I don't think so.
No. I don't know. It seems like
Jeff, would you consider? Because I know you got a lot of family responsibilities.
No, I'd love to stay here.
And deal with them?
Yes.
Or go to Mars.
And live in an Airstream, small Airstream trailer forever. Don't forget that. It's not like you're going to be up there with a big screen TV and a lazy boy.
Waiting for global warming to work for you for a change. That makes sense to me. Okay. Anything you want to promote here?
Forward, oh, yeah.
Forward promote or backward?
For me, tonight I'll be in St. Charles, Illinois at the Fine Line Creative Arts Center with Randy Sabine.
Oh.
And
where is that?
St. Charles, Illinois.
Yeah.
It's like west of Chicago.
Oh.
And tonight in...
Can anyone go to that?
Anyone can go to that, yeah.
Do they come back from it? Or is it
they do
way?
Come back, yeah, yeah. They do come back.
Okay.
And then Jeff will be in Milwaukee tonight at... the Jazz Gallery with the Manti Ellis group.
Oh, Manti Ellis, yeah, great.
Yeah, so.
And what?
And Jeff insists that I say that he'll be at the Brink Lounge tomorrow with Pat Mallinger.
The Brink Lounge here in Madison.
Here in Madison. Right here in right
tomorrow
here in
night,
Madison.
Which is.
3 p.m. It's that Sunday afternoon concert. You came to. Jeff and I did a thing there last.
Oh, okay. But you're not going to be at this one.
I won't be at that one.
Okay. I could come anyway. We'll see.
I'll get you.
And this little tune here, now there's a great story behind this.
There is.
Even cooler.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
You should try that. Wear it, unbutton it a few. Seriously, you can do it. If it doesn't work, you can always fix it, but just try it.
I took all the questions I rejected.
Okay.
And now I have them as the questions I accepted.
Well, it starts with a button. Okay, yeah. Guys, let's take a poll. How many buttons down should Michael go? I say one more, just to try it. Yes, right? Yes. Yeah. What have we got to lose? What's the worst that could happen, Michael? Come on, you guys. Yep. Okay, well, let's just kind of take the temperature of the room here.
Okay, stop.
You're not getting another button off me, buddy. The old routine, give us another button. Then I got to pluck the gray ones that stick out, you know. And that's painful. That's painful. Bob Stone of Madison says iPhone 6 or iPhone 6 Plus. I'd go with the Plus because they're a little roomier. And I wear the Pluses myself. I'm a plus size now, so. You might be different, Bob Stone. Where are you?
Over here.
Huh? Yeah, I would go with the Plus. You going to go with it right away? Are you an early adopter, Bob Stone? Stand up if you don't mind. You find yourself, are you an early adopter on most
usually,
objects?
Usually, I've been Android since till now, but thinking about going with the iPhone.
Yeah. Did you have an incident that changed your thinking? Or was it
it looks pretty nice, but with these little hands, I'm not sure about the Plus there.
The Plus? Yeah. No, that's fine.
Okay.
You should be fine with those. Let's see them again. They're cute.
They're cute. They fit in little jars well.
They seem very artistic. You have that, at least. You'll always have that.
It's good. I'll always have something.
Okay, thanks very much. Early adopter. Anyone else here who's an early adopter now for any? Anyone who's going to get the iWatch? The most ridiculous, useless thing. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. It's a wonderful thing. You want one, though?
Maybe. You know, if I get one, I'm probably going to ditch my $30 watch that I bought and I only use for a week. If I do, I'm going to get the gold one, the 16-karat gold one. That's like $1 million. Yay, for a little bit of gold on a watch.
So how are you leaning right now? It seems like you're leaning one way, then you're leaning the other.
Well, I'm falling down, actually.
What's your name?
Sean Stone.
Sean? Are you related to this stone here?
Yeah.
So, do you have an iPhone now?
No, I wish I had.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
But I wish I had one.
You wish you what?
I wish I had one, but he won't ever buy me one, no matter how much I do to convince him.
Yeah. But you do have a watch. Are you wearing it?
No, and no. And I have a rash here, but no.
Clayton, you got a rash here. Rash in row one. Nice to meet you, and I hope you work out all those details.
Yeah, probably.
Especially paying for it would be the hardest thing. If it's $1 million, it's a lot for a watch. Even a Rolex, I think, are cheaper than that. Some of them go for $1 million, I guess, Rolexes. Have you thought about a Rolex instead?
I don't know what that is.
Rolex is a very expensive watch. You can resell them, though.
Cool. I'll just go on eBay and sell it for $1. Yay!
Okay, fine. All right, we're good. I'm so good with young people. Except when they're mine, I guess. I didn't do much. Can you recommend a good toaster? You know, I say a question. We tell you to write a question on your cards. Who even has a toaster now? I haven't had a toaster for going on 2 decades now. You still have a toaster?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you do with it?
I toast with it.
And does it pop up all of a sudden and they're all black because you left it in there too long? Or this?
Sometimes, yes. Yeah.
Don't you hate it when people mess with your settings?
Yes, I do. That's usually the family.
Everyone should have their own toaster, I guess, if you're going to do it. Because everyone has a different darkness thing.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Where do you set yours when you toast?
Oh, medium.
Medium is a very common thing to do, but a lot of people like the carbon.
I don't mind the carbon. I have a tuna fish salad on carbon toast.
Tuna fish salad on carbon. I can hear you. Oh, she's here. She's in the restaurant. What is your name?
Mary Peterson.
So that's tuna fish on carbon for you. And then what were you having, dear? What's your name?
Oh, I'm Beverly Gross, and I like raisin toast with peanut butter. Best stuff.
Very good. Do you put the peanut butter on it before you put it in the toaster?
No, not usually.
A lot of people make that mistake. But you don't have a toaster oven?
Not anymore.
You went backwards and what do they call that when you actually go backwards and...
I guess. Yeah.
Retro, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I did. I like a toaster better.
Were you unhappy with the toaster oven performance?
Yes, I was.
What was your biggest, what model was it?
I can't tell you that anymore, but no, I don't know. I can't remember.
But you can't, or you're covering up for some corporate wrongdoing is what I'm...
Yes, it got on fire. I mean, the toast got on fire, so I didn't want...
You must have had it on high or something.
Well, yeah, I left it there too long. I was making toast for meatballs. Okay, we're just going too far into this, okay?
Too much information again. Welcome to Too Much... Michael Feldman's Too Much... Michael Feldman's TMI, we'll
That's
call
good.
It.
That's good.
Going too far. Okay. But you put meatballs on toast?
No, you put burnt toast in your meatballs. It tastes very good.
Oh, it's the other way around. Okay, you put toast in your meatballs. Okay. Well, I hope we clarified that for everyone. Anyone else on the toaster? I'm sorry, what?
I want that recipe.
You want a recipe for the meatballs? Could you talk to her on someone else's time other than my career? Career time? Don't talk on career time. Okay. Does that mean I got to go?
No, not at all.
Okay. Sometimes you do that, like, to cue me. Do they tell you to play things to get them off?
They used to. I kind of do it automatically now.
Well, sometimes you just fool around with the keys.
Yeah, yeah. So that was that.
What was that? Sorry. You're working on a little riff thing?
No, it's
not. It was nice. It was kind of cute.
C minor.
C minor is good. Len Butkus from the Shoda. What can be done for a pulled gluteus maximus? Well... If you're a butt kiss, you're going to have a problem with your gluteus maximus. And I know you've heard that before.
Yeah, first grade. You said was, oh, kiss butt.
So you did take first grade then?
Almost. I got in a lot of fights that way.
Yeah. Well, you're lucky because my brother Clayton is here. And he could easily look at your butt. He's a trained professional. It's not like just meet some guy in the street.
I think I saw him in the bathroom before the show. Yeah,
he was, did he offer an opinion on the...
He was doing analysis, yeah, free analysis.
What is the problem with the... you say a pull... How can you pull your butt?
I woke up in the night and it...
I don't think... Are there any muscle? I mean, there is a muscle, but I mean, you can't...
There's a big muscle. I can tell you, it hurts a lot.
I mean, were you wrestling? Were the two of you wrestling or something?
No.
How can you pull your butt muscle, though? It's pretty hard to do.
Especially in your sleep.
Well, what were you dreaming? Did you have that Vern Gagne dream again? Or you were Vern Gagne?
It's his cat's fault. She just sleeps in the wrong spots.
The cat pulled a muscle in your butt?
That's her opinion.
Well, I didn't do it.
Okay, TMI. Here we go again. Clay, anything you should look for in this? Yes. Wait, let's get an opinion on here. Clay is the best diagnostician I've ever run into in my family, at least. And I think if anyone could speak to the guy, just get you stand up for a second here, Clay. I don't mean to interrupt you. You're enjoying yourself. How are you?
I'm good, but I've retired.
Yeah, I don't. But this gluteus maximus.
It's my favorite muscle.
How would one pull that, though, in normal life?
Like this.
He demonstrated by pulling his butt muscle manually. So what's the best thing for that, Clay?
Heat, rest, and call me in the morning.
Okay. Heat, rest, and call him in the morning. Thank you. Thank you, Clay. That works for about everything, too. But don't call him in the morning because he's retired. Okay, we'll get back to you later because you have the four disclaimers. We'll be hearing more from Len Butkus, ladies and gentlemen. We're not through with him yet. What? Oh, yes. That's because we're going to do that now. We're going to play the What Do You Know quiz, a chance for you to win fabulous prizes, some of which you see scattered about the stage, just for having gone to school or whatever, at least first grade. So then you qualify. The question is, who can and cannot participate in the quiz? Back to Len Butkus for this one. Len, take over, would you please?
Sure. Oh, by the way, hello to Lon and Kim on their way to lacrosse. They're listening. They're getting a black lab today. Yeah. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched. although the answers have not. Ambitious, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. I've memorized this. I don't recognize number two. Second, Scotland goes, there goes Haggis. Haggis? Oh, there was Haggis. Scotland goes, there goes Haggis. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones, trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done, Len Bucket. Thank you very much. You want to keep it? Yeah, keep that. For your souvenirs, thank you so much. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try it, at least one of them, at the What Do You Know quiz. I'm not picking a guy wearing a Limburger dress with braids.
He's got a skirt on.
What?
He's like 6'1" in a skirt. How could you not choose
him? I know, but it's scary looking, number one. He's wearing blonde braids and some kind of a dress, and it says Limburger what? What is that?
It's called a Limburger pen.
Limburger?
Oh, he's holding us hostage with cheese.
He has the Limburger. He threatens to unwrap it if I do not pick. I'm not taking both of you guys, though. That's too much of a Limburger thing. What? Well, wait a second. Let me just see what. Did you guys just come in here to get warm?
Nine.
What?
Nine, Michael.
What is your thing?
We are great fans of yours from Limburg, Canton Zug, Switzerland.
I'll say the same thing without the accent.
Okay. We're from New Glarus.
Well, then now it begins to make sense to me. Not so bad. You're from New Glarus.
And we are both.
Yeah. And is there a Limburger festival going on in New Glarus?
Cheese Days in Monroe.
Glad you asked.
Okay, I'll put that right over here. And so which one of you wants to play the quiz?
He's smarter than I am.
I don't know. You're more... outgoing.
All right. Here we go.
Are you sure you don't want to do this?
I'll coach you.
No, don't. Please, stay there. You can bring your Limburger with you if you want. Let's find out if you qualify for the quiz, in fairness. Your name is?
Mark.
Mark. And are you involved somehow in this Limburger thing?
I'm pushing Limburger next week at the Cheese Days.
Pushing Limburger? Is this your own Limburger you're pushing?
No. It's Myron Olson. He's the proprietor of Chalet Cheese, the only Limburger factory left in America. Isn't that sad?
We're doing this. Give me one good reason you should play this quiz, Mark.
If you don't, I'll open the Limburger.
Okay. Come on down, Mark. Let's give him a little, because he needs a little, but not too much. A little love. Have a seat there, Mark, if you would.
Good seat.
The outfit, I mean, the dress and the wig and everything, was that your idea?
Yes, it was. Yes.
So you're like a milkmaid?
I'm a Heidi man. Yeah.
Oh, you're a Heidi man.
Heidi man, yeah.
I get it. Okay. All right. And so are you in the cheese business yourself?
Or? I'm a recruiter in the dairy products industry, so yes. Oh. Yes.
You recruit dairy products?
I recruit for dairy products factories, yes.
And what? Who are you recruiting for? What purpose?
Literally sanitation manager, quality manager, supervisors, people like that.
Uh-huh. You keep pushing this Limburger near me, and I push it back. I don't know that I've actually ever tasted Limburger.
Oh,
I don't think
my God.
I've ever gotten
Michael.
That close to one, a Limburger.
You don't...
Does that astound you? Because do you love Limburger?
No.
No, but she does. You do, yes? And how do you toast the bread first and then put the Limburger on it? How do you eat it?
Dark rye.
What?
Dark rye.
Stir fried?
And onions.
What? Dark rye and onions?
Dark rye, raw onions.
Okay. And a little mustard.
All right. Well, if they ever get those things, then I'll try now, this. We'll put it up here so people can see what we're talking about. Limburger cheese, is this good stuff?
Michael, do you know the special properties of Limburger?
No, what are they, Mark?
Well, you know how you might know how ketchup has special mellowing agents. Do you know that, Michael?
No, I didn't.
You have never heard that? No. Okay. Well, Limburger has special Viagra properties, too.
No.
Yes. Well known. Well known.
Do you
yes.
find this?
It's true.
It's maybe true can for you, prove you Mark. It? Doesn't mean that it's true. In
can you prove it's not true?
I can't prove either way. I'm okay. just saying because I've never tasted this stuff. But, you know, I don't need that.
Now's your chance.
I don't need that anyway, Mark. Okay. so, I mean, you're a job recruiter as well.
Correct, correct. Yeah, so a headhunter. Yes.
A headhunter. So like yes. people who are interested in being in the business that you're in.
Yes.
The
yes.
dairy products business.
Yeah, well, you have to have experience already. Yeah.
Is it strictly cheese?
No, dairy products in general.
In general?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. And nationwide, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And they get hold of you in New Glarus if they're interested?
They can, yes. Yeah.
Cool. They just ask for Mark and they know who it is. Huh?
Or come to Cheese Days and find me in my wig.
Very good. Yes. Very good, Mark. And Mark, you know how this quiz works? I'm out there, plays along with you, yada, yada, yada.
I've listened for 28 years.
Okay. Well, this should kill it off once and for all. And that streak. And then how do we do this then?
Somebody at home who wants to play along picks up the phone and dials 1-800-942-5669 and you ask them a qualifying question.
Okay. Let's go to the phones right now. And what is it again? There's no time even to ask a question. Let's just pick Peter Joyce from Jackson, Mississippi.
How's it going, Michael?
Congratulations. You qualify for the What Do You Know quiz.
I did it. Thank you.
Excellent. And, of course, the question was, where is Jackson? It's in Mississippi. And, Peter, how are you? What do you do down there?
I'm a middle school math teacher.
Middle school math. Okay. So what are we talking about here? Polynomials or something?
So right now, I'm 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. We got prime factorization in 6th grade. We got constants of proportionality in 7th grade. And we got scientific notation in 8th grade.
God, that means I quit school at 5th grade. Wow. That's really something these days. Peter, this is Mark.
Hi, Peter.
How's it going, Mark?
He's good. A cheese whiz. The two of you guys worked together. You got bonded enough. That was kind of male, I thought.
Okay. I was a math major.
Yes. Hey, there we go. Thank you. I've had cheese.
And you what?
And I've eaten cheese. So,
okay. All right, so two of you are a team right now. You work together. That's how this works. And what categories have we, Sarah?
We have current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Peter, you pick first one. What would you like?
Odds and ends, please.
Odds and ends, could be anything. Percentage of cats who eat even a little of what they kill. Okay. These are cats, free-roaming cats. They do a lot of that sort of thing. Is it 17%, 28%, or 3% of cats who actually eat even a little bit of what they kill?
Oh, Peter, the high end?
I guess they seem kind of picky. You know, they'll pick at it a little bit. I had a cat, and when it would kill something, you kind of play around with it and then get bored with it.
Yeah.
That's a little bit. So, yeah, I'll go high-end.
Yeah, we're thinking high-end, Michael.
So you're thinking what?
But sometimes high-end is, you know,
28. 28% is right. Yes, 28%. That's surprisingly high because I've known cats just to do it for the fun.
That's one right and zero wrong.
Okay. What's left there, sir?
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school or science.
Mark?
Things you should have learned in school.
Did you
go to school? Embarrassing for me.
Good. Did you go to school in Monroe?
Or are you no, from northern there? Wisconsin.
Oh, northern. Does smelling something fishy actually make you suspicious?
Peter, why not?
Now, when were we supposed to learn this in school?
Yeah.
That's a separate question.
It
does. So there's actually a basis. People get suspicious when they smell fish.
Really?
About it. All right.
Yes. What do you mean, really? Really? That's not the attitude we like to hear. Also, washing your hands of something and getting the cold shoulder, they all have basis in reality.
Huh.
when someone gives you the cold shoulder, the temperature actually drops in their shoulder. I have no
you
idea.
Made these up.
I did not. I saw it.
That's
somewhere.
Two right and yes. Zero wrong.
Okay.
Categories right. Left are current events, people, places, or science.
You guys are doing unusually great. Wow. What? Okay. Back to Peter. Yes.
Okay. First, I want to say happy anniversary to my parents, 39 years.
39.
Okay, I got that out of the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And I'm going to go with places.
Places it is. All right. Glaswen. Glaswen. Two words. Glaswen. In Welsh. It means one of the following. Which of the following does it mean? Does it mean red face, yellow belly, or blue smile? Glaswen.
What do you
in Welsh.
What do you think, Mark?
Yellow belly, you said?
I did.
I'm
not yellow belly.
Part of me is leaning blue, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That was
leaning blue. Why is
Braveheart's
that? Which part
color.
Of you is leaning blue?
Yeah. I think gloss. Glassy, watery, bluish, it all kind of comes together.
I think you're overthinking, Peter.
That guy could be.
Not necessarily, sure. though, because he's a thinker by nature.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
So, all right, we don't like yellow. We're good on no yellow.
Yeah, I think the yellow belly is out. And red what?
Red face, yellow belly, or blue smile. Need an answer, gentlemen?
Blue smile, Peter?
Let's do it, blue smile.
Blue smile is right.
Oh,
that's a smile.
God.
That's
all right.
Sarcastic. Or mocking of the blue smile is a glass web in Welsh. So use that next time you go over there. And well, they've won.
They
won.
Haven't.
Oh,
woo!
That was too easy. That was too easy, almost, for these guys. And I guess, did he win something good?
They did. Mark, from potholes to flagpoles to ketchup consumption, there's no stone left unturned in Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know from source books. Peter, you'll start every day the What Do You Know audience way with Stephen Brew's Breakfast Blend Coffee and banish afternoon worries with rich and smooth Costa Rican Terra Sue from Madison's Stephen Brew Coffee, which is coffee done right. And each of you can gain inspiration while laughing with the DVD Kent Rader, The Grand Wizard of Comedy from Kent Rader, the world's cleanest comedian and humorous keynote speakers. What is going on over there?
He wants me to wear his wig.
Oh. And entertain friends and foe alike playing What Do You Know the Party Game, including questions, contestants, and the wigless Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to you both.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay, thank you.
You want to take this cheese with you? Because you probably got to take it up for a walk. Peter, hang out. Make sure you get that. Thanks for playing. Very good job.
All right, thank you. All right, Mark. Good day.
What Do You Know returns to Monona Terrace next week for a live show when Michael Perry and indie music star S. Carey take the stage. Tickets and scheduling information are available at notmuch.com. And hey, if you're listening in Oklahoma, we will be at the Oklahoma City Community College Theater on October 25th.
Yeah.
Visit notmuch.com for details on how to see Michael live.
Gotta get me some fries.
Do they have good fries there?
Oh, calf fries are the best.
They're made out of cats?
Calf.
Oh, delicious.
I'll explain it to you.
Okay.
Get our moment off.
Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI. That's Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International.
Out of control.
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's satirist Will Durst. Thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who warns of the iPhone 666, it's Michael Feldman.
Holy cow. Memos here. Okay. Hi. Still here. Or welcome for the first time if you're just joining us. And I was looking for, you know, all the news that is around here. We usually do it this time, you know, actual news. And usually from around here, there's not too much going on this week. We do have the phone scam, another phone scam, besides the one I mentioned. Parents at University of Wisconsin-Madison students, which would be me, actually, were warned of a phone scam targeting their financial information. According to a news release, the scam involves a caller posing as a member of the department, the police department, the UWM, cops to go program, posing as a member of the department who tells parents that their daughter or son has been arrested. The caller then tells their parents their financial information is required for the student's release from jail. So, I mean, Let them rot. Could be real. It could be a scam. So I would say let them rot, and then eventually they'll grow out of that, whatever behavior that was. Oh, the main thing around here was Kenosha, the stolen tortoise. Did you read about that? This guy has an 80-year-old. He has three of them, actually. African sulcata. This one's called Sulky tortoise. And he keeps them on his lawn, apparently. He must have a nice-sized lawn, anyhow, in Kenosha, for Kenosha. And it was stolen. Someone might have thought it was a lawn ornament and walked off with it. And it was returned, though. So that's the only news, really, around here. It's good news. Missing 40-pound tortoise recovered after apparent theft. The tortoise was eating grass on the front lawn of a house when it was taken on Monday. Then it was dropped off at a Kenosha pet store, and they're treating it as a theft. So it's all good now. Sulky is back. You can see the picture there with recovered. That's Sulky right there. So. That's from around here. Oh, in Milwaukee County, they wanted to pass an ordinance that would allow you to have pigs in the county. This is either the Milwaukee alderman who proposed it, or one of the pigs in question. But apparently that failed as well. So it's not going to happen. So not much news. The actual memo, however, is a pretty good. Now we've been getting all the bathroom memos again. I mentioned the fact that probably three-fourths of all the memos we've had over the years, and there's maybe been like 50,000 of them or something. I don't know, 20,000. All right, 10,000. A couple hundred. I got a couple hundred memos. It's a good stack of memos over the years, and they're usually bathroom etiquette things. And now I'm getting them all again because I mentioned that last week. And let's see, which one do you want here? The 21 things to remember while going to the bathroom? Yeah, that's the most ambitious one. Let's do that. On June 27th, there's a 25-point memo entitled Toilet Etiquette for the ladies' restroom, created by female staff, which is appropriate, I believe, and sent to ladies of this organization. This occurred following someone encountering an unsanitary toilet and subsequently led to a toilet posse following unsuspecting women and reporting on those they suspected were unsanitary in their use of the restroom. If reported, staff met with their supervisor, where no proof of this offense was offered, yet administrative progressive discipline was received. I'm not sure what that would entail. Just as a bit of background, this is an organization that's staffed predominantly by mental health clinicians. It provides after hours of telephone crisis intervention services, suicide hotline services to majority of those served by local mental health centers in Kansas, and operates a large drug testing division. So they're going to the bathroom a lot, I guess is what they're implying there. Here it is, the 25 things to remember when going to the bathroom. 20. Yeah. So settle in there. This might take a while. Professional courtesy, if you mess it, clean it. Do not attempt to clean toilets or floors. Call or email security or Carolyn. If toilets unsanitary, call and place sign on door. Four, practice good hygiene. Respect the rights of others to privacy and cleanliness. Do not take reading material into the office toilet. Do not peek under the doors. Knock if the stall appears to be occupied. Lock the stall when you enter. You may embarrass someone. Concentrate when you pee so you don't wet the seat. Sit on the pan if you're unsteady on your feet. Sit on the pan if you are unsteady on your feet. Girls, sitting is compulsory. Smile. Squat only on squatting toilets. Pedestal toilets are for sitting only. Avoid messing the seat. If you do, clean up after yourself properly. Remember to flush the toilet after use. If necessary, flush the toilet several times. Those are two separate items. They could have been in one, I think. This is up to 16. Don't leave soil for someone else to clean up after you. Ladies' handbags pick up lots of germs if taken into the toilet and placed on the toilet floor handled by germ-laden hands. 17A, please never take them on dining tables or kitchen bench tops if they've been taken to the toilet. 17 and 17A. 18 girls' sanitary napkins are not. And should not be flushed down the toilet, but be wrapped and disposed of in the sanitary pad disposal unit. I guess that's next door. They send those over to the unit next door. 19, leave the stall door ajar when you leave to indicate that it's unoccupied. 20, wash your hands thoroughly after your business, whatever it is. 21, wipe down countertops after washing and drying your hands. 22, don't litter. Don't dawdle on the toilet. Dawdle. Let's say don't dawdle on it. Yeah. Especially on the toilet stalls. Or in the toilet stalls, excuse me. On your way out for personal hygiene, use a paper towel to grip the door handle if possible, because we will never train everyone to wash their hands or elbow through when somebody opens it from outside. And 25, consider others. Thank you so much for 25 things to think of, like you don't have enough to think about when you're going to the bathroom. Is there any of those you'd like to correct or eliminate?
It just sounds like they don't have enough to do in that office.
Yeah. Well, you know, suicide, you need a little hotlines.
It's beyond me.
I know. You'd think they'd be thinking about other
larger
ways of dealing.
Questions.
Yes, larger questions.
Yes.
Yes.
Anyhow, if people have similarly illuminating memos, they can send them to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org with the...
You don't flush a toilet with your foot, do you?
I do.
Do you?
Yep.
How did I know that about you?
I'm a foot flusher, yeah.
How did I know that about you? Because I've never seen it happen, but I just... I wonder if she flushes the toilet with her foot.
Totally.
Always have done that?
I mean, when there's that paddle thing, yeah, like the thing that's low enough to get. It's not like at home I don't flush it with my foot.
No.
No.
Okay.
Can I give the address now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you think still thinking about that?
Well, I'm thinking, what about if it's one of those, it's high up on the, you know, on the pipe?
They don't
can
really make
those?
Probably, but they don't really make those anymore.
The industrial kind of flush.
Yeah, nor can I pull the chain with my toes.
No, that's kind of a cool thought, though.
Memos to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org with the subject line memos, or they can go to notmuch.com and post it there. You're still thinking about it. I can see it on your face.
Yeah, about you pulling the chain with your foot. That would be so cool. I wish we knew each other better. I can actually see that attempt, at least. Someday.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. If you're on the Twitters, by the way, I'm at My Feldman if you want to get involved in that madness. I'd recommend against it. And then, you know what, this is a treat here, actually, because, you know, Will is kind of a legend around here, since it turns out he's from around here, which I didn't know. Will Durst is actually from Waukesha, you say, right? Okay. He's joining us. He's here. There's a thing going on now in town called the Fighting Bob La Follette thing. Fighting Bob La Follette thing. It's called something else. And it's at, I think, Sauk Fairgrounds today. Or Sauk City. Sauk County, whatever it is. Baraboo. Exactly. Would you welcome, please, Will Durst on our very stage here, ladies and gentlemen. Fighting Will Durst. is joining us now. Hello, nice to meet you. You didn't remember meeting me, huh? I thought it would be kind of...
I remember meeting you. You're no, Michael Feldman, you for crumb's sake.
You didn't remember.
Yeah, it was backstage at Progressive Magazine's 100th anniversary.
Redford, you remembered. You met Redford,
well, yeah.
You remembered him.
Yeah, he's short. He's like that.
Yeah.
Tall.
How's this Fighting Bob thing going now? Pretty good?
Well, I have to fight him later today.
Yeah.
No. Because I would be moving down in a weight class, so it wouldn't be fair.
Did you ever box in school there in Waukesha?
No, I was not an athlete.
No, nothing?
Look at me. Me and Steve were the dorks of Waukesha.
Yeah, chess club or Latin club or anything?
Drama.
Okay.
Drama, darling.
Yeah. So, and Bob LaFont, the progressive movement, of course, which started with LaFont, and a lot of people don't realize that he was a progressive Republican. They were Republicans.
Back then, Republicans were different. Does the term Lincoln have any meaning here?
Yeah, so that's kind of a cool thing. And this thing is every year, right, where they do...
Yeah, this is the 13th annual, and it's for progressives by progressives. And, you know, a progressive is a term that... It's weird because I'm from Wisconsin. I'm from outside of Milwaukee, Waukesha, which is, you know, a little to the right of Pol Pot. So, and I live in San Francisco now, so I got... Both sides. I come back to Wisconsin, I'm a commie pinko yellow rat, you know.
Yeah.
And in San Francisco, I'm a Nazi. So.
Yeah. Well, that's nice for you. To have both. Most people don't have both.
No, they don't.
That's a good thing. But it's a tribute to you also because, I mean, you don't pull your punches in either direction, right?
I do try to hit both sides.
Yeah, a good right and your undercut.
And my left is not that strong.
No.
No, because I agree with Obama on a lot of stuff, you know, because, I'm a social liberal and economic, you know, that whole thing, if I hear that one more time. But no matter what you think of Obama's policies, you got to admire his ability not to get involved in them.
Yeah. That's true. Very good. Now, let me ask you this, and this will probably screw everything up, but just talking about it. Don't you find, now I've been doing this for a while too, and you've been doing this for even probably a longer while. There are periods in history where all the news seems to be not only bad, but terrible and horrible, and it's so it's hard to be topical
at
certain periods of history.
Right now is real tough. Yeah. You got Gaza, you got Putin, you got the Ukraine, you got Ebola. Ebola! They're letting people back into the country with Ebola!
Yeah, yeah.
That can't be good.
Yeah. So that's amusing, but I mean, a lot of the stuff is not so funny.
Well...
Ebola jokes.
You know what happened? It was in 2012, I wrote this little... I can't do comedy clubs anymore because the average age of a comedy club is like 18 to 35.
Yeah.
You know, and then I come on stage, and why is this bitter old man lecturing me?
Yeah,
you know?
Making references that no one gets. Yeah. I mean, I'm a lot
so
of
that. I decided to try to move to theaters because, I mean, look at I mean, you know, that's my target demographic out there.
Yeah.
People who read or know
people
someone
you went to school with.
Yeah, the guys I went to school with. And so I've been doing theaters, and I did a show off Broadway during the end of the Bush administration, but then that material... evaporated. Yeah. So I wrote a new show for 2012, and it started out like 75 minutes on Super Tuesday, and by election night I had 2 hours.
Yeah,
because you remember 2012. I mean, you know,
I remember the performance actually. It was riveting.
All those.
I felt like I was riveted when I saw
those. You had Romney and Palin and everybody led the polls.
Funny stuff.
Herman Cain led the polls.
Yeah.
Michelle Bachmann led the polls.
Yeah.
You know.
Good times.
Rick Perry, until he got into the race.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then on
and
November...
Now he's back, but he's not as funny this time.
No, he's got glasses now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not hip glasses like you. You know, he's got the Kent. Dark frames, the serious glasses.
Yeah. It's what Superman wears in his off time. I think that was the idea behind those. And our, looking back, you know, the Clinton years were a gift. Well, you know, what a gift. You didn't have to write anything. You could say, you know.
Bush. Anything. Bush was the gift. Because Clinton, everything was below the belt, especially the last.
But that's a gift.
The last 2 years. No, you would say you're a political comic, and people go, Monica, huh? Yeah, all right.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But Bush, I didn't. I was carrying these 3x5 cards with me, and at the end of the second of Bush administration, I had both sides of a card full of verbatim quotes.
From him.
From Bush. Yeah. I didn't alter a syllable. One was, I think we can all agree the past is over. Yeah, okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
When in Rome, do as the Romanians do. Yes, he did.
But have you noticed that since then, his now he's very popular. He hit a low point there towards the end, but now
but that happens with every ex-president.
He's been renewed, yeah.
Well, yeah, except I'm hoping Jeb gets it. Because can you imagine if it were Hillary versus Jeb Bush, it would be Clinton Bush. I could just resurrect all my 1992 material.
But Jeb is a little, he's kind of a stray in the family, isn't it? I mean,
he was supposed to be the smart one. No, that's what they kept saying.
How hard is that? Really?
But if he won,
yeah,
that would make the last five presidents Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama, Bush.
Yeah.
So like a club sandwich. Yeah. With the Bushes as the white bread.
Yeah.
And what could be more apropos than that?
Exactly. And I know a lot of the stuff that you talk about that's not political is about the generational thing now. Because I think you and I are both on the cutting edge of the baby boomer thing.
You mean the leading edge?
Yeah, no longer cutting. We shouldn't use sharp objects, I think, at this point.
No, they.
The baby boomers have pretty much gone boom.
They give you that round scissors now. Yeah, the round edge scissors. Yeah, I'm doing a show about being a baby boomer. It's called Boomer Raging from LSD to OMG. And it's what happens when acid flashbacks meet dementia.
So what does happen when that...
I hear that a lot. Yeah, it's a celebration of the maturation of the boomer nation. And of course, we have the Gen Xers leave the room right now. I've had it. Yeah.
She's going to Mars. She's the girl going to Mars. Oh, she'd rather go to Mars than hear this.
Oh, Marsha, who was at the table, she was the one who told me I couldn't bring my coffee in. She said when you had the two guys up here earlier that the guy threatened to expose the Limburger that only in Wisconsin where you have cheese terrorists.
Yeah. Limburger, LED.
I know.
That's where the LED stands for Limburger in Wisconsin. Yeah. So, okay. Anyhow, what about our generation?
Well, we were a little self-reverential.
Well.
Yeah. But my theory is a lot of reasons why our parents' generation, the greatest generation, they went through a world war, and before that, a depression. Right. When they got back in the 40s from the war, they were still rationing. It wasn't until the 50s that, you know, that things eased up. And then it was the Cold War, and they went, Cold War, imminent nuclear annihilation? Yeah, whatever. Because they had gone through all that. But we simmered in that marinade of no tomorrow. You know what I mean? And I think that has a lot to do with...
Duck and cover and that sort of thing.
Yeah, you remember duck and cover?
Put your parka over your head and you'll be fine. Lean against the wall, put your parka over your head, nuclear war, you're fine.
In case of nuclear attack, crawl under a desk.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't. Yeah, so I think that had a lot to do with why we were the drug generation, and we're
that
still,
and the drugs. I think.
Well, you're right because drugs were available.
Yeah,
and we're still doing drugs. Only now there's a copay.
And now we can get the good stuff. I mean, this thing about prescription marijuana in states that allow it. I mean, it's something we've earned. I think. You know,
Wisconsin. What do you think?
No, it's not going to happen here. You know,
don't they?
No. Behind the barn, whatever grows there, grows there.
Well, in San Francisco, because I was a smoker, and I'm down to 3 or 4 cigarettes a day. Yeah. But mostly because I live in San Francisco. Is that a cigarette? No, it's a joint. Well, it better be. I mean, that's what it's like in San Francisco.
So you're not vaping? You've gotten to vaping?
No, but I smoke these English Ovals, and they're not filtered.
Oh, they're the worst kind ever, right?
Well, I'm down to 4 a day, I figure, yeah. If I'm going to get my nicotine.
I mean, that's what happened to the Empire, isn't it? English Ovals.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You know? Well, they came here and discovered the tobacco and then took it straight after that, you know?
Walter Raleigh, right?
Walter Raleigh, right. Yeah. Such a stupid get, as John Lennon was. So, it's unfortunate, I think, that we were... That's why this thing, they call them millennials now, you know, which is weird. It's a weird name to be called.
83... through 2002.
Yeah, millennial. I mean,
well,
they were
Gen Y for a while, remember?
Yeah,
after Gen X, and they demanded their own name.
Yeah.
Which you got to give them that.
Millennials, because you never know how many L's and how many N's, for one thing. You know.
Michael Feldman, would go after it on a grammatical basis.
Well, I mean that, and they should call them the awesomes. You know, this is the awesome generation, because they're always saying, everything's awesome. And they're always being ironic about it. You know, nothing really is awesome, but they always say, oh, that's awesome. You
know, I know, right?
I don't mean it at all. I know, right? They say
I
that,
know,
too.
I know, right?
Yeah, I know, right? So, they always say, things. So, I mean, and then they tell you what they don't mean, you know. I got two of them, you know, so I see it firsthand. I don't get them at all, and they're very interesting, and I love them. However...
And they haven't really formed an opinion about the baby boomers yet, but
yeah.
As soon as they pay off their college loans and move out of the house, they're going to get right on it.
Yeah. See, I just think it was unfortunate that we were called the baby boomers, because I never really cared for that term.
Did you have another name? Do you have a...
No, I don't call us anything. You know, I don't call me, I'll call you. I feel
about, you know, but, Ray Johnson.
Yeah, but baby boomers, you know, and then especially when you're, you know, the 60 generation in their 60s,
yeah,
it's a little embarrassing.
The white snake tattoo on grandma. Yeah,
and those don't wrinkle well at all. Oh, those white snake tattoos.
Yeah, no tattoos for me. You know, because you should caution the kids.
Yeah,
because you know it's a big thing now, and the kids, you got to understand that tastes change. Not just taste, the canvas does.
The canvas, yeah, it does.
That cute little butterfly is going to turn into a pterodactyl.
Depending upon where it is, that could be a problem for you. But in the nursing home, much amusement in the nursing home. Yeah, so a generation. And then we always had the thing, the feeling that the dawning of the age of Aquarius, still waiting for it. You know?
Jupiter was aligned with Mars, man.
What was that supposed to be? You know, and I remember sort of believing that something big was going to happen.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Well, yeah. The astrologers, you know, they use that. There was so much that was going to happen to us. And we just, we were fighting the man.
Yeah.
And now we are the man.
Yeah. Eat the rich. So like, eat yourself. Yeah, that's right. Eat the rich was the thing. They said, you know, how far should you go to defend your, you know, whatever, what you believe in? Eat the rich. So now, if you're rich, eat myself? I don't think so. I can't eat rich now. That's exactly what I can't have.
You know? Muesli. Yeah. The muesli generation.
Kill your parents. That was a nice thought, too.
There are good things about being, you know, a baby boomer.
Yeah.
I mean, there's stuff that we can pass on to the kids. I mean, we may not be able to dodge trouble as fast as we once could, but we can recognize its approach from farther away.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when in hostage situations, chances are we'll be among the first released.
Get him out of here.
Yeah.
He needs his medication.
You know, there's good things about getting old.
Yeah. And politically, I don't know, politics of the day, what do you make of all that's going on, the Tea Party and all that sort of thing? That's a little, that bemuses one.
Yeah.
Not used to it.
We were talking last night about how the Tea Party is kind of like, I think it's the mailing list from the old Ross Perot's Reform Party. You know, I really do. I think it's the same people running it, and the Koch brothers, of course, you know, running everything. No, that's how they want it pronounced. It rhymes with sock. Yeah, so they're, you know, here they have their guy, your governor guy.
Oh yeah, him. Yeah, yeah. Governor Walker.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Governor President Walker is what
they call him. Yeah. And, of course, Paul Ryan. They kept calling Paul Ryan a bold choice when Romney picked him. Bold choice, you know. Yeah, but bold, not always synonymous with good. Whiskey for breakfast is a bold choice. And him replacing Medicare with vouchers, you know, coupons, healthcare coupons, because old people love coupons. I got a coupon. Only four more, we could book the anesthesiologist. Making Sarah laugh, so that's, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I know.
That's a good sign right there.
That's my goal.
And then, I don't know, but the Obama thing is not so funny anymore. It's hard to get a laugh out of an Obama joke, I bet. Is it?
You know, he's a black guy in a white guy's world. Yeah. You know, so he had to develop this veneer, and he was always a facilitator. You know, I mean, he's so smooth. He's like a sparrow slaloming through a chain link fence, nothing but net. You know, there's no scandal, and they've been trying to find a scandal. I mean, at McCain and Hillary, I imagine, and even Romney, they couldn't find a scandal. Clinton was a corpulent womanizer, and Bush had the DUIs and the DTs and the STDs and the ADHD. And Obama's like chamois on chrome, man.
Yeah. Can a sparrow really actually slalom through it? I'm stuck on that image. Through a chain link fence.
Nothing but net.
I'd love to see it.
I think that he's stuck, you know, because he always brought people together when he was in the legislature in Illinois, and when he was in the Senate, that was his gig. He brought, and these people, you know, they don't want to be brought together. The only way to bring these guys together is with a fire hose spewing crazy glue.
Yeah, and he has the unfortunate tactic, or not a tactic. It's just him. I said of actually saying the truth of a situation. Like when they asked him what his strategy was, he said, "Well, we haven't gotten around to a strategy yet." Which the president is not supposed to say. Say we have this well in hand and yada yada yada. You know, and we're proceeding force. He said, "Well, we don't have a strategy quite yet, but we're working on it." which is actually true.
What you want from the guy?
Really, when you think about it, but yeah. it's not presidential.
No, America.
It's hard to be president.
America wants a pacifist with swagger.
Yeah, well, that's going to happen.
Yeah. I think what he's done is admirable under adverse circumstances. I mean, you look at Mitch McConnell, who admitted in the first year of the Bush of Obama's administration that their only goal was to deny him any victory at all. So for 6 years, their negotiating stance has been no, 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 uh-uh, no, sir, no way, not in a million years. Let me think. No, I'll sleep on it. No. You know, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, so what's he supposed to do?
Yeah. And it's been an effective stance, which is even more astounding.
And a lot of people like it because it means nothing gets done, and they believe in low government or, you know, small government. And see?
Yeah.
Well, I believe that for every law passed, you should take one away. I think there should be a finite number of laws.
If you got to pick them, that wouldn't be so.
Yeah. Bad,
you know. Yeah. But did you ever think that we'd be in a situation where guys who are opposed to the government would be elected to it? Because isn't that a contradiction? I mean, it's a conflict of interest. I mean, if you're opposed to any government anywhere doing anything, and then you run for office and are elected to it, then what should your stance be, really?
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's where we find ourselves.
It's
not funny, but it's where we find
ourselves. It is funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, 2014, of course, the election, you know, the gubernatorial elections, in which you pick the best goober, and whether or not the Democrats can hang on to the Senate or you know, win Congress, the House. You know, it's this is going to be an important, you know.
Yeah.
But then Hillary, can she do it? My favorite part was, and you alluded to it earlier about you know, when she had to, because she called Obama's Syrian policy a disaster, not underthought or, you know, a disaster. She was Secretary of State. That's America's top diplomat. Mm. You would think she'd show more diplomacy.
Yeah, a little tack there.
A disaster. And then they met because they had because she said she looked forward to hugging it out with them. Yeah, the same way you look forward to an emergency tracheotomy done with a Bic pen. Yeah. Yes, and then where did they meet this summer on vacation? And you talked about at a lawn party at a golf course on Martha's Vineyard, which is, I mean, each one taken individually, but then put together, that's like, you know, the 1% trifecta or something.
Yeah. Well, that's where things get done.
And that must have been a great
on the
hug,
vineyard. You if know? You can get a tea time, I mean, that's the crucial thing.
Do you golf?
No. Pitch and putt years ago. That's about it.
I love pitch and putt.
Yeah. So I'm not presidential. And then there's a thing about, you know, Eisenhower, he golfed all the time. They didn't say anything about that.
Well, Bush.
Yeah.
Bush had, you know,
He had a weed whacker. He had a weed whacker.
Remember Reagan was always clearing Bush, and I forget, Mark Russell or somebody
clearing brush,
said.
Wasn't it?
Clearing brush. Did I say Bush?
It works either way, actually. Well, think about it.
Bush was his VP.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think Mark Russell said that must be the most brush-strewn ranch in the history of the world.
Yeah. You know? Switchgrass. That was that switchgrass he had done. Remember? It was going to be a new fuel.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. That never materialized either. But you know what? I like his painting.
Which one?
Have you seen his paintings?
The one
of him in the bathtub just shows his feet and his legs and his feet, and he shot one of himself in the shower.
Yes, I saw that one.
Yeah.
Where he's it's very Norman Rockwell-ish, you know.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, man, you know, I didn't go to Madison. I went to UWM. I went to the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I always wanted to come to Madison. And Madison is, you guys don't realize how beautiful and idyllic and bucolic and oh my God, this place, an isthmus. It's an isthmus, which is one of the most beautiful words in the English language. Isthmus.
It's hard to say, though.
No, but syphilis is another beautiful word, unfortunately.
But we live on a syphilis. The most beautiful syphilis.
It's just a cool thing. And Norman Rockwell will come to Madison, take one look around, and go, no.
Not for him.
He wouldn't buy it.
Well, we got. I want to thank you for stopping by. Well, I know you got to go out there. What are you going to do on the fairgrounds out there? What's your approach going to be?
Mock and scoff and taunt.
Okay, so it's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But with taste, you know, give them my best.
You got a book out or something now we can latch on to?
Just my little one man show, Boomer Raging. Look for it or book it and bring it to
on
a
DVD?
Theater near you. No, not yet.
It's
still growing.
You should be on DVD, man.
Still growing.
Will Durst, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you,
Will. Thanks for being here. Will Durst, ladies and gentlemen. Catch him out in Baraboo or somewhere in a town near you. Thank you very much. Will Durst. Comedy for people who read or know someone who does. That's from the Will Durst Journal. So you can check that online, too, the Will Durst Journal. It's always interesting and always amusing. And provocative, depending upon how you're provoked. What provokes you? Yes. What were you saying?
Oh, no, I was just saying he seems like a real nice guy.
Yeah, nice guy. But he didn't remember me. He didn't remember me.
Yeah. How long ago was that you met him?
We were very close, I thought. Well, it was at the 100th Progressive Magazine thing. They had 100th.
100 years ago?
Yeah, 100 years ago. Now it's 200. So, yeah, it was 100 years ago. Okay, so now are things pretty good there for you? And
no, I'm kind of ill today, actually.
Are you? You're not feeling well? What
I got
symptoms?
A little, I don't know.
Because Clayton is here, and he's...
Respiratory thing going, but...
He's retired, so he can't be sued for anything he does.
No, that's okay. I don't need any. I'm recovering.
Respiratory? Any other symptoms? Fluids?
Sinus, yeah.
Sinus, yeah. Respiratory, probably allergy.
He's I had a sore throat too, but that's gone now, so I think I'm...
He is an allergist, or yeah. He was.
Oh, I don't have allergies.
No, you just have all the symptoms of allergies.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Could be something much worse then.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good to think about.
Jeff, you all right?
High triglycerides and low iron.
High triglycerides, low iron. Clayton?
Yeah, good.
That's good? Clayton says that's fine. You should be happy with that. And this tune here, tell us about it.
Oh, it's just it's an old standard, and I heard a recording of it by Dizzy Gillespie.
Aren't all standards old, though, really?
Well, no, there's the new standards.
Yeah, what? Name one new standard.
Well, I don't know. The Look of Love. That's not really new.
It's not
though.
New?
That's 60s.
Sorry. Prove my point for me. Okay, and it's called, I'm sorry.
Sunny Side of the Street.
Oh, great song. In C. Those of you following at home.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Jeff is a Gemini. Any other Geminis here? Yeah? Oh, are you? No, you're both Geminis. Aren't Clayton and Sandy, my brother and sister-in-law, are both Geminis. And there's two of them. Isn't that cool?
It's a double Gemini.
When Geminis find one another, it gets, well, they're quadruple, I guess, at that point. What? You're what's in
Virgo.
Clayton is a Virgo at his age? That's got to be a record. 40-year-old, forget that. That's nothing. Here for our 40th wedding anniversary are the Allens from Delavan. I guess they left. They're right here. Okay. Are you a Gemini? You want to stand up here? We want to honor you everything as appropriately as possible under the conditions that you must be suffering from. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. And then how are you?
I'm fine, too.
And this is a way you celebrate an anniversary, 40 years? This is what she gets?
I was in charge of it.
Yeah.
We've been here before, but not with her. I was here with Minister.
Wait a minute. We've been here before, but not with her? Well,
my buddy and I have been here several times. He usually sits in this spot, and I sit in that one.
Are you the Navy guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember you. Yeah, you're a good guy. Do you get to live in a church or something like that?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. You still living in that church?
Yeah.
How's that going?
Fine. We're still living there. Yeah.
We're not there. Still building.
Yeah. No, that's cool to be in a church and not be dead. That's a good thing. Because often it's the other way around.
That's if we were living there, so So we're still alive.
Was that church your idea?
Yeah, it was.
And you had to put up with that.
Yes, indeed.
I bet you had a very nice place all worked out before that. And
actually, yeah. Place on a lake with a pontoon boat.
Lake with a pontoon boat.
He lies.
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's true. All fitted out, the cabin like of your dreams.
It was an A-frame up on the hill above
A-frame
the lake.
A-frame on the hill above the lake. She comes along.
This is not my husband then.
And what is your name again?
Melinda.
Melinda and
John.
John. Okay. And then you moved in the church, and it took a little work, I suppose.
It still is, yeah.
Is the sacristy falling in, or what is?
No, everything else is.
Everything else is, though? Yeah.
Thanks to friends who are
Did you keep all the statues and statuary and all that?
No, that was there.
Oh. They took it with them, huh?
We had a pew there, that's it.
One pew? One pew. A small church. Is it a cute little church in a veil? They're living in the little church in a veil.
Yep.
Up on the hill, now you're in the Vale.
Well, it's on a hill, too, above a lake, but a lot further away.
Yeah. So. Okay. And this is 40th, and then where are you going for the big celebration?
Well, this is it.
40 years, this is what she gets? The tickets are $5, right?
Yeah. The big one, I think. Yeah. I think it was $7. So.
$7?
Well, 20-something, $20 we spend about, so.
Yeah? Well, wait, for gas, you mean?
Oh, no, I'm... coming up here and parking and everything.
Yeah, for gas and parking.
It's a big deal.
Wouldn't you expect a little more for 40, though?
No. I'm fine with this.
You're fine with this? Isn't that what? You married, despite all this, you married the right woman.
Yeah, well, she listens to you on the radio every week, and she's never been here.
Yeah.
And I've been in Carroll College, and I've been here several times. I figured it was about time she
That's
got
That's why I know all about your life. You've been here a lot. I thought you stayed over from the last time, actually. That long ago. That's your buddy from the Navy?
Mark on the thing here, yeah.
Yeah. Your buddy from the Navy or something?
Well, he wasn't in the Navy, but his son was in the Army.
Okay. Well, that's
I'm the Navy guy.
He wasn't in the Navy, but his son was in the Army. It makes perfect sense, if you think about it. And then, well, it's very nice to have you. So you're good now. This is fine?
Yep.
For another 40?
Another 40, yep.
Yeah. If the 50th is, you come back here on the 50th,
well,
will you be?
We'll do two times then. We'll come here 2 weeks in a row for 50th.
Sounds good. Congratulations. Happy 40th. We have some stuff for you. Let's give them a lot of stuff.
Well, how about...
Because she got nothing.
First of all, there's wines from Wollersheim Winery, Domaine de Sac. And
Winery?
Yes. Wine.
Give them the good stuff.
Then we can give them a book on finding your perfect soulmate from David E. Smith. And
save that.
Okay.
Keep that. You don't, they don't need
we
that.
Have Nine Hallmarks of Highly Incompetent Losers, another book.
No.
From Pat
Reeder.
Okay. We have a T-shirt that helps you fight plumber's butt. It's an extra long-tailed T-shirt.
That's good
Two
for
of
him.
Those. Okay. Okay. Yeah. We have a DVD from about the bragging rights Carolina-Clemson rivalry.
Give him some more wine. How about more wine?
Wacky jokes every kid should know. Or more wine.
More wine.
Very good.
Happy anniversary. Oh, it's a good one. Thank you for coming. Thanks for having it here. Let's everybody try to celebrate their anniversaries at What Do You Know. Okay, so we're going to try the What Do You Know quiz. Not that it didn't work last time. It worked perfectly well. Here's your chance. You saw what happened first time, and you probably thought, I could do that. Heck, I could do that. You probably thought. Did you think that? Stand up here, young man. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Look, you got fan club here. These people are your fans.
I didn't bring any Limburger, though.
You didn't bring any? That's a selling point for me. Your name is?
Adil.
Adil. Okay. And are you from a town here? Are you going to school?
Appleton.
From Appleton?
Yep.
Okay. And what's your thing these days, Adil?
My thing?
Yeah. What are you doing? Are you in school?
I'm in school, yeah.
Yeah. And what are you studying?
Just about everything.
Studying everything. Okay. That's good. We need more generalists. We have all these guys who are, you know, specialized. Adil, right? One good reason you should play this quiz.
I'm not a cheese terrorist. I'm not a cheese terrorist.
You're not a cheese terrorist. Come on up here, Adil. You're my man. I'm tired of these cheese terrorists. Being used by cheese terrorists.
It's a problem, especially in Wisconsin. Yeah.
How do you spell Adil?
A-D-E-E-L.
I would have spelled it that way. Isn't that funny? That's the way I would have spelled it. So now you can't be studying everything, though. What interests you the most?
What interests me the most?
Yeah.
I like psychology.
Oh, yeah.
I'm also getting into comedy, stand-up.
Stand-up and psychology? You know, that's cool. Doing stand-up psychology. That'd be cool. Going to a psychologist. He's at a microphone. Sit down there, why don't you? Say, where are you from? You know. That'd be cool. And what are you in college now? Or?
No, I'm high school.
You're still in high school?
Yep.
Okay. So senior?
Junior.
Junior. Okay. That's good. And where is that school? What's it called?
Appleton Valley New School.
Valley New School. I don't know that one.
It's a charter school.
Oh, cool.
I can study just about anything.
So. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. And then are you in town for some purpose, or are you just here?
Just here.
Okay, cool. On your 40th anniversary, would you come back here and celebrate with us? Can you remember that?
Are you going to be here? Or?
What do you mean, am I going to be here?
Of course he's going to be here.
Of course I'm going to be here.
Say, like,
you ought to study psychology. You ought to study psychology. Okay, Adil, you know how this works? Someone out there plays along with you.
Okay,
it's cooperative, so there's that to it. And I have to ask a question, don't I?
You do. They call in from home. You ask them a question, and they either qualify or they do not.
I know that. Do you think I've been doing
this
all these
years?
No, I'm
just making sure that everybody understands.
Oh, so
understands.
They, okay. Yeah. All right. Not to brag, but the newly discovered semi-aquatic Spinosaurus. Big new dinosaur discovered. It's big. How big is it? It's blank feet longer than a T-Rex. I want to know the blank. How much longer can't say taller because this was horizontal. The T-Rex tends to stand. But how much longer is a Spinosaurus just discovered than a T-Rex? First person to give me that figure in feet gets to qualify. Lynn in Holland, Michigan.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine. Yourself?
I'm fine. Thank you for asking. Have you got a busy day planned? Or?
Not really.
Doesn't sound that way if you had to think about it that much.
Yeah, it's a lazy day.
Yeah, lazy day. What are you going to do on a lazy day?
Maybe take a walk with my dog.
This sounds like my day.
Could mow my lawn, but I don't feel like that.
No. Okay, Lynn, anyhow, Spinosaurus, how much longer than a T-Rex?
I think it's about 30 feet longer.
Oh, no.
Better, a lot more than that?
You better get that dog out there right now. Hook him up. You're going for a walk, Lynn.
All right.
Thanks,
though.
Bye. Kelly's on the line from Spitzer. Where is Spitzer, Kelly?
Between Fenimore and Lancaster.
Yeah, but where is it?
Oh, Southwest Wisconsin.
Spitzer? I never heard. Huh?
Stitzer.
Spitzer or Stitzer?
S-T-I-T-Z-E-R.
Oh, he put Spitzer on here just to throw me off. Oh. Lyle does things like this. Stitzer.
My neck of the woods.
Everyone's heard of Stitzer. I thought you said Spitzer. How much longer is a semi-aquatic Spinosaurus to a T-Rex?
82 feet.
Longer? 82 feet longer?
Did I say 82? I meant to say 28.
Do you mean 28 feet longer than a T-Rex?
Yes.
That would be like several hundred feet, I think, wouldn't it, at that point? I'm afraid that's... What? Are you washing dishes or something?
No, I'm in a car wash.
Oh, you're in a car wash. It's one of those where you got to sit in the car, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I kind of like the feeling of that, don't you? You know, those brushes around you, it's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
And all the suds all over you. I kind of like it. There's something erotic about it almost. Do you find that, or is that just me? Oh, never mind. I'm sorry, that's wrong.
Okay,
bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anytime. Well, not anytime. Justin, in Topeka, Kansas, how much longer in feet, less than 12, let's say, is the Spinosaurus to the T-Rex?
I read on the news it was roughly 30 feet. I'm going to go 8.
Okay. You say 8-ish. That's 9 to me. You win. Congratulations. 8-ish. All right, so we got Justin here in Topeka. Are you in a car wash or anything, Justin?
No, I'm not. I'm sitting enjoying the sunny day out on the back porch.
Yeah, is it nice out there?
It is. Actually, it's Topeka. Really chilly. The fall has evidently come because it's like 62 degrees.
Yeah, well, we're in the 40s here, so don't complain.
Well, don't send that down to me.
No, I won't. It would go backwards anyhow.
You know, North Texas is colder than Alaska. It just blows my mind.
Okay. Justin, this is a deal.
Hello, Justin.
Yes.
And he's very, very smart. So you don't have to do anything much, Justin. Just hang in there, okay?
No, you have to do everything. I'm not going to get any of this.
Okay. All right. Here we go. We have various categories, do we not, Sarah?
We do. They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Justin, pick the first one. What would you like?
Let's go with things I should have learned in school or had I been paying attention.
Oh, no.
Okay. All right.
What now, I'm a pair of high school students, so hopefully he's paid attention.
Okay. Illustrate what is meant by kowtow.
Come again?
Kowtow. To kowtow. Illustrate what is meant by that. Justin, are you doing it?
Yeah, I can do that. Okay. Well, no, I'm doing it right now, but that means to be submissive to somebody.
Okay, so how would you illustrate that? Just do it right there. That's fine. What are you doing?
I'm bowing on one knee.
Okay. Oh, you're down one knee. That's excessive. Okay. All right. We'll accept that. That's fine. Kowtow to be submissive in a gesture, wave. You can, you know, you bow and walk backwards if you really want to do it right, is the way I like to do it around the house. So that'd be...
That's one right and okay. Zero wrong.
One right. Very good, Justin.
Categories left are current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Adil?
I'll take people.
People? What do you do for hobbies, Adil?
I like writing, reading.
Writing and reading?
Yeah.
Okay. Percentage of flying people who think you're rude if you recline your seat even this much. Even on that flying cigar tube, the Embraer. People who think you're rude if you recline your seat at all. Is it 41%, 51%, or 69%?
Ooh.
Talk it over now, Justin.
Justin, Adil. What do you think?
I would have to say 69 because it's just annoying, period.
Yeah, but you do it, right? Do you recline your seat, Justin?
Absolutely.
Do you see any contradiction in that philosophically?
Well, I stay up late at night thinking about it, yes.
You want to go along with that?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, 69% now. It's getting out of hand, and everybody does it. So it's self-hatred, I think.
Two right, zero wrong.
Okay.
Categories left are current events, places, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, back to Justin then. What would you like?
Give me the categories again.
Current events, places, science, or odds and ends.
What do you think?
Current events?
Current events?
I'll go with that.
All right. What well-known company has ended its unfortunate My Ultimate Bucket List contest? It is an airlines.
It's an airline?
Yes, an airlines has ended its unfortunately timed My Ultimate Bucket List contest. You know, the last thing you do before you die kind of thing.
So I don't want to fly on this airline.
Oh, I can't tell you that. Depends if you can recline the seat or not. Any idea?
Airline companies?
Airline company. Worldwide airline company. Somewhere in the world. Last thing you do. Kind of bucket list contest. Who shouldn't run that of the airlines of the world?
Russia.
Okay, any others? Justin?
You're not going to give a hint, are you?
Well, I can tell you what the name is, but I... What? Gesundheit. What was that? Justin, we're running out of time here. This is
Lufthansa.
Lufthansa.
You want to try here?
Malaysia.
Malaysia! Yes, not a good idea for an ad campaign. Holy cow! You've won it at the last possible second. What have they won?
Adil, when you've tired of drinking from pint glasses, flasks, or golden chalices, conquer your next beverage with Das Horn, a 24-ounce drinking vessel of BPA-free plastic with stainless steel rim. It comes with a removable neck strap and display stand from Das Horn. And Justin, when you want to know which countries are the smallest, the oldest, and the newest, you'll find out in Glad You Asked.
You just gave a high school student a drinking horn.
Man, I'm just reading what's on the page.
I know. Come on. We're liable for how he uses it.
They can sort it out over there. Glad You Asked. Intriguing names, facts, and ideas for the curious minded by Michael Feldman from the editors of Encyclopedia Britannica and Triumph Books. We're out of time. There are more prizes. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at
Thanks
Wisconsin
for coming,
Public
you
Radio
all.
For
Thanks
Public
for
Radio
listening.
International. Michael Feldman is our producer international.
PRI, Public Radio International.